A new report from the Institute for Policy Studies entitled The Souls of Poor Folk. Did you know that more than 40 million Americans subsist below the poverty line, and a closer to 140 million people are dealing with some combination of structural racism, economic inequality, and ecological degradation? And there you have the three things coming together, poverty, racism, and the environment. And this just sort of chilled me because I fit into this category. A statement in the report: nearly half of our population cannot afford a $400 emergency. And of course, you all know, since 1968, the top 1% share of national income has nearly doubled. And we're going to talk about that report from the Institute for Policy Studies with Karen Dolan. And Karen is a project director at the Criminalization of Race and Poverty Project of the Institute for Policy Studies, and she joins us on the telephone. Hello to you, Karen. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
And what welcome news that there is now sort of an official entity of the Poor People's Campaign, which got sort of derailed by the assassination of Dr. King 50 years ago. Why don't you tell me about this new campaign, and then we'll get to your report.
Yes, so Reverend Barber and Repairers of the Breach and the Kairos Foundation and a number of other faith-based organizations actually started building up this campaign over the last couple of years at local and state levels and traveling around the country. They've talked to hundreds of thousands of people. They have been organizing in now over 30 states. I think it's up close to 40 now, where they have people on the ground, and they are involving faith leaders, non-faith leaders, and impacted people in communities across the country. They've been conducting listening sessions. They have had hearings where they've heard testimonies from people who have been impacted in the different areas that we're looking at, the interlocking intersection of intersecting oppressions of systemic racism, structural poverty, the war economy and militarism, and ecological devastation in the United States.
Yeah, the Poor People's Campaign. The Poor People's Campaign statement said, "We are coming together to break the silence and tell the truth about the interlocking evils of systemic racism, poverty, ecological devastation, the war economy, and our distorted moral narrative." And that brings echoes to me of Dr. King's emphasis on militarism and how that was integrally a part of the suffering of people in the lower income brackets in this country. And your report talks about so many things, not only the crippling poverty that never gets any media attention. People all are bowing to the middle class, whatever that means anymore. And why don't you tell us now about your report?
Well, yes, that's right. So Reverend Barber and the Poor People's Campaign and the Institute for Policy Studies comes to this from the idea that poverty is immoral, that racism is immoral, ecological devastation is immoral, and militarism is immoral, and that they are all interconnected, and you can't look at one without the other. And there are far more people impacted than one would believe from headline news. One thing that Reverend Barber likes to talk about is with the 26 presidential campaign debates, barely a minute was spent on poverty. As you say, people are talking about the middle class, when in reality our report shows, when you look at the number of people who are both living in poverty and living as low income at twice the level of poverty, that's about 140 million people in the United States. It's a very high number of people. We don't often think about that. We listen to the sound bites that it's a few amount of people, that it's all black people or all immigrant people. And in reality, the greatest number is white people, because white people are the greatest number of the population. It just poverty disproportionately affects people of color. But the premise is that the politics has been used to divide poor white people from other poor people, and really to understand that poverty and low-income conditions and conditions with poor ecological conditions, access to clean water, the effects of militarism, the effects of militarized communities impacts a lot more people than the politics of the right would have us believe.
Well, the politics of the right are building on these divisions, and they're inciting them and deepening them. It's those other people that are the problem, those people that aren't the same color as you if you're white. And that's to me, the whole message of Donald Trump's campaign, but never mind. I'm going off on my own little. So, could you give us some?
I think that's right. So, I think that is important. I mean, that those have been the politics that have divided people that otherwise we would be united in the fact that the language of race is used to elect politicians who then are in power and they pass voting right restrictions. They dismantle the social safety net. They aren't paying attention to infrastructure also in rural communities and in the cities. And that ends up impacting a far greater number of people than one would think, by succumbing to some of the race baiting, language that is being used. So poor white people who would be natural allies of other people who are suffering from poverty or living low income, which almost half of us are artificially separated off in terms of protesting and in terms of demanding moral justice and of demanding our rights to live a decent life.
You're listening once again to Karen Dolan, who is the project director for the Criminalization of Race and Poverty Project at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C., and we're talking about the new report from the from IPS called The Souls of Poor Folk. And so what you're talking about was what was mentioned in a description of this news conference, etc., that they are calling for a radical cross-racial alliance. What have you been doing to build such an alliance? You mentioned 30 states and doing things, but how do you break through that terrible thing of racism, which is built into the Constitution, frankly? I mean, it's been here since we've been, the country has been here.
Well, I think that what our report tries to look at is we're looking at all of these issues nationally, and we do break it down demographically, but when you look at what really is affecting all of us is stagnant wages. We have a decrease in quality of jobs. There's an increase in privatization of public goods, social safety net programs, including Medicare and Social Security, and things that a lot of people rely on are also under the gun and with threats of being cut and radically reformed. Things that have worked, like food assistance, SNAP programs, are also under the gun for being cut radically. And once you do this, the number of people who are affected are in the tens of millions and even up to 140 million people who live precariously. We just saw these tax cuts for the wealthy being passed, and that puts a pressure to cut all other sections of society. So as we see that we've grown more toward a society that is focused on tax cuts for the wealthy, where the top 1% share of the economy has doubled since Martin Luther King's time, you can see that it is the rest of us here who are all being affected, and we've got to band together and try to fight some of this. We need to have living wages. We need to repeal that tax cut for the wealthy. We need to have real infrastructure that gives us transportation to quality jobs, that we have living wages for our jobs, that the enormous debt burden that most of us feel in this country can be rectified, and voting rights. So we have now less voting rights than we did when the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965.
Okay, well,
and here many of these.
Mm-hmm. Here is another point, though, that poor people don't vote, so of course they don't bother to pay attention to them. That's why they're talking about the quote-unquote middle class, i.e. white people, who will go out and vote. Or am I overstating? You just mentioned voter suppression, which of course is one reason why you don't get much of a poor people vote, because their votes are being taken from them. But show me your analysis.
Right, and that is not to be underestimated.
Mm.
So we have now, I think there are voting restrictions in 23 states, and we have cut down on the hours of early voting. And voting happens on a work day when a lot of people who are low income can't get off of work. Voter ID obligations have been raised. So there has been a systematic and deliberate attempt to keep poor people, low-income people, people of color from the polls. So this is a big focus of the report and a big demand that in order for us to truly have democracy, we're going to have to expand access to voting. That is the very essence of our democracy. And when we have less voting rights today than we did when the day the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965, we know that we're headed in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Karen Dolan with IPS, the Institute for Policy Studies. We're talking about their new report, The Souls of Poor Folks. And you are including in this report, as I understand it, data and analysis spanning 50 years since the beginning of the last Poor People's Campaign. And also, when you speak of morality, I'm always remembering, oh, well, if those people just weren't so lazy, if they just worked harder, you know, they're just on the dole. They're just siphoning off money, our tax dollars, in welfare, quote unquote.
Well, that's right, and that is a narrative that has existed in this country since it was founded. And I think that what the Poor People's Campaign itself tries to do, and what we demonstrate in our report, is that this idea that poverty is the fault of the poor is, of course, a myth. And there are very structural reasons that poverty exists. And to such a large extent in the world's most wealthy economy, we have plenty of resources, so that one in four children and four in ten children don't have to be poor in their lifetime, and that one in five children don't have to go to bed hungry at night. So some of them we've mentioned, that we don't have a living wage. There is no county in the United States where the minimum wage of $7.25 an hour will afford a family a two-bedroom apartment at market rent. So we don't have access to affordable housing or quality housing. We have enormous debt from medical bills. So we don't have access to decent health care. We don't have collective bargaining power. The workers' bargaining power has decreased vastly since the 1960s. So the unions have decreased, and with that, the power of the workers to be able to fight for a minimum wage. And again, the shift from public goods to private goods, and the shift for privileging corporate power over the welfare and the well-being of people, all of these and many more that we articulate in the report show that this is a structural problem. These are political choices. They have political answers, and that it isn't a moral failing of people who are struggling to get by.
And one of the details of this picture of poverty is that 1.5 million people in this country, 1.5 million, 1.5 million, that is more than a million, that's almost 2 million, don't have access to plumbing, and much less the drinkable water. We can just look again at Flint, Michigan for an example.
Yeah, so some
happens.
Of these things, you know, are very shocking, and people don't realize some of it. A lot of these things people realize because they lived these conditions. So for some people, it won't be a surprise. But Flint, Michigan isn't unusual. So there's also a lead problem in many poor and low-income communities. We have a crumbling infrastructure, especially in low-income communities. We have more policing and criminalization of poor people, especially of black and brown people. We have criminalization of people who are immigrants. We have a diminishing ability to take care of people with disabilities. So this is very, the problems are very broad. They're structural. There are also, however, implicit bias, explicit bias, cultural bias, that are also, very, ingrained in this system of white supremacy. So a system of white supremacy does perpetuate these structural problems, but they also compound segregation and increased policing of especially black communities, but also brown communities and immigrant communities, Muslim communities, and LGBTQ people, especially trans people and trans women of color. So within these structural problems, there are also straight up racist, segregationist, discriminatory practices that make their way into the ways in which people are policed.
Indeed. Karen Dolan, I have been much cheered by the multiplicity of the resistance that's been evidenced lately. And I also have been cheered by the polls that show that the primary concern of voters as we look to the midterms, these all-important midterms, is health care, not immigration or not whatever else they might be using to turn people against each other. But this is a universal problem with the healthcare, as you point out in your report as well. The report's title, once again, is The Souls of Poor Folks. And I love this image of Cornel West holding a sign, "If only the war on poverty was a real war, then we would actually be putting money into it." The report, how can we get the report?
The report is on our website, ips-dc.org, and we have an interactive website as well, so you can dig into some of the particular issues that you're most interested in. You can also find the executive summary, or you can download the full report, which is 123 pages. So it's a very hefty report, full of a lot of really useful data, and as well as stories from impacted people. So there's a lot that can be used in your communities, in your places of worship, in your town halls, to lobby your local representatives, state representatives, federal representatives, and I hope that people use it. It is a document that is meant to be used over and over again. And as I said, ips-dc.org has an interactive version, and you can also download the hard copies from there as well.
And could you tell us how we can get more information about the Poor People's Campaign? Is there a website so we can look and see if there is a gathering in our neighborhood or in our town?
Yes, and so please access the poorpeoples.org, I believe is the website for the Poor People's Campaign. You can Google it as well. And they will have their list of demands up there, that they are working with, and the cities and states and communities where they are, and how you can, include yourself, your community, your organization, your stories, and become involved as well in the Poor People's Campaign.
All right, and I'll get some information about that for listeners as well. I thank you very much. Karen Dolan, Project Director for the Criminalization of Race and Poverty Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. Once again, that is ips-dc.org. www.thesoulsofpoorfolk.org for their report, The Souls of Poor Folks. Thanks again, Karen.
Thank you, Chris.